Welcome to this science podcast by Adiseo.
Hello, I am Dr. Dan Lucchini from Adiseo, here with Guilherme Bornham. We're visiting with Dr. Nancy Whitehouse from the University of New Hampshire. Nancy, take a minute to tell us about the mycotoxin research that you shared at the 2021 annual meeting of the American Dairy Science Association.
Thank you, Daniel, for this opportunity to talk about my research. So mycotoxins are out there. They're in our feeds, especially anything that's corn-based. And we know we're feeding them to cows, and we know that these mycotoxins can have adverse effects not only on production, but on overall health and reproductive function and so forth. So here at UNH, we decided we would run a trial looking at what effects mycotoxins had on production, along with some blood parameters and volatile fatty acid parameters, and what would happen if we fed a deactivator.
Thank you, Nancy. What did you find? Can you please share the highlights of your research?
Yes, I can. So the deactivator that we fed was UNIC. So that was what was fed. And we did, here at UNH, we did an in vivo trial using the 24 cows. 9 of them were cannulated. In CERN, they used 4 dry cows, and then they took rumen fluid from those dry cows and incubated it with the deactivator to see what effect it would have on volatile fatty acids. Now, I'm also going to bring in some research that I presented in 2020 at ADSA because it sets up the background for the volatile fatty acids. So in 2020, I presented more the milk, and we saw that as you went through the 6 weeks that the trial was run, we didn't see influences right away from the mycotoxins. We saw them later, like around week 5 and 6. So with dry matter intake, energy corrected milk, and some of the milk solids, we saw a decrease when we were feeding the mycotoxins. And then with the activator, we started to see those levels come back to control levels around week 5 or 6. The other important thing when we looked at blood parameters, we looked at neutrophils, lymphocytes, monocytes, and leukocytes. We didn't see any effect with the neutrophils, lymphocytes, and leukocytes, but we did see something going on with the monocytes. So we saw a decrease when we fed the mycotoxins, but with the deactivator at week 6, they came back up to where the control levels were. And you got to remember, neutrophils are an indication that there's an infection going on in the body. So they're attacking anything that's creating an infection. So by bringing these levels back up, the cows can now fight off any other infections that could be going on. With the volatile fatty acids, we saw an increase back to normal levels at, you know, going across those weeks with butyrate, isobutyrate, and isovalerate. With the in vitro, they saw an increase when they were feeding the deactivator on propionate, isobutyrate, butyrate, isovaleric, valeric, and they also looked at total branch chains. So this is telling us that even though we could be affecting those microbes, we're starting to see them come back to normal levels.
This is a very interesting work. Obviously, it's nice to see that you were trying to assess not only what happened in vivo, but also in vitro, and looks like those results match and are in relation with each other. So how do you interpret these results, Nancy?
Well, looking at the monocytes that was going on in the first part of the trial I presented, and then looking at these volatile fatty acids, we know that feeding mycotoxins can impair those rumen parameters. But by feeding the deactivator, we're starting to see those microbes starting to shift back to what we would consider more normal levels. and that they're producing beneficiary metabolites such as butyrate and isobutyrate that can be used for milk fat. So this will create a better performance for the cows. We're starting to get those cows, if you've got mycotoxin load, we're starting to get those cows back to where their genetic potentials are.
Thank you, Nancy. As they always say, cows don't lie. And what the cows were telling you in terms of milk production and composition, you were able to also dig in deeper, look into the rumen and to in vitro, and to be able to explain how or why those cows were responding much better in terms of milk production and composition. Now, Guilherme, for you and I now, what does it mean for dairy nutritionists and farmers? How do they apply these findings?
Thanks, Dan. Well, this trial brings a lot of information to dairy farmers and nutritionists. First of all, it's important to mention that this research was conducted using naturally contaminated grains with fusarium toxins. And those are the most common ones found out there in the field. And the levels used are levels that we consider practical levels, not extreme. So the whole impact of those mycotoxins and how a product could counteract those problems, it's extremely beneficial to our farmers and nutritionists because it gives a practical information. So first, if you look at how the mycotoxins are working with those on those dairy cows, we see this cumulative effect. So it doesn't mean that when you have a high load or moderate levels of mycotoxins that the cow, as soon as they eat it, they will have a problem, a health problem. They're going to be in a clinical sick or something like that. It shows that the mycotoxins are cumulative. The cows are going to consume for a few weeks, and after that, they're going to start to crash and show the problems mentioned by Nancy. It's also interesting to look at that monocyte information that Nancy just shared with us. These monocytes are directly related to the infection or attacking pathogens or controlling infection, right? It doesn't seem that on that trial, that those cows were looking sick. However, they were less prepared to face a future challenge or a third party or a bacteria or a virus challenge in the future because they have lower levels of monocytes when they are fed mycotoxins. And at the same time, when they're fed the activator agent, monocytes came back to normal, so the cows were more prepared to face those challenges. So it's, in summary, it shows that the cows, when they are fed mycotoxins, they are less prepared to face infections. And of course, overall, dry matter intake, milk yield, and compositions overall are affected. And those effects are counteracted by feeding a product such as Unique, where you have a broad spectrum of approach with the repair of the mycotoxin damage and the detoxification agent at the same time that will give those cows a better way to control the mycotoxin challenges. So I think it's a critical research and it gives a lot of information to our farmers and nutritionists.
Thank you, Nancy, for conducting this research carefully thought, and Guilherme for your thoughts. For a closer look at Nancy abstract, you are invited to visit www.adiseo.com. Once on your site, you go to the Ruminant section podcasts.
Thank you. This concludes this science podcast by Adiseo.